Good afternoon. I'm Jason Parrott, and this is Emphasis. Joining us this afternoon is Russ Brown and Scott Smith. Russ is the president of the Burlington Steamboat Days American Music Festival, and Scott is the vice president of marketing for the event. This afternoon, what we want to get into is Burlington Steamboat Days. The big event is next week. Russ, let's start with you. For people that maybe haven't heard about it, especially not from the Southeast Iowa area, what is Burlington Steamboat Days?
Burlington Steamboat Days is a six-day music festival under the American Musical Festival events. We try to bring some of the top-line entertainment, you know, be it country, western, or classic rock, rock and roll.
Before we get into maybe the looking back at it, who are some of the acts that people are going to be hearing next week?
You basically have six nights. It's going to start off with Jake Owen on Tuesday evening. Wednesday, we go to more of an alternative rock, where you have Chevelle. Then on Thursday, of course, you have The Voice. Blake Shelton will be here. Friday evening will be Luke Bryan. Saturday, you have Twisted Sister, and then we end the event with Alice Cooper on Sunday evening.
Now, how are the acts selected? Who makes that decision as to who should play each year?
Well, we work with an agent over in the west part of the state, Robio Agency. They have a number of events that they are responsible for, outdoor festivals that run through the month of June. We work with those folks and then other events and find out who's routing through the area. And then from there, we start the process of making offers on the different types. We call ourselves American Music Festival because we entertain all types of music, whether it's on the Miller main stage with those types of acts that I shared, or we get to our regional acts that precede or follow the main show every evening. So it's working through a major agent.
Now, Russ, where is it at? I mean, we're going to be in downtown Burlington. Where will people expect to see everything going on?
Well, we have our main in our parking lot on the north side of Memorial Auditorium, right on the riverfront. Our main stage, our Miller Outdoor Stage, is at the south end of the Port of Burlington, which is also our welcome center normal times of the year. It's in a parking lot. We have a stage that's, like I said, that's pre-built, speaker towers and everything else. And we're on Front Street, right by the auditorium along the Mississippi River.
Are there other things going on, or is it just the music?
No, during the day, every day we have something different. Like we'll have Monday night, we'll actually open up with a jazz fest, a Dan and Millie Bead Memorial Jazz Festival. And Tuesday during the day, it's awesome art in the auditorium where young kids will come in and do art things. On Wednesday, we have special guest day from Hope Haven, our handicap center around here in town that brings people in, and they have a good time inside with Ronald McDonald. They go out and ride various rides in our carnival rides that are here. Our Thursday is our senior day. Friday is our kids' day. Saturday, we'll have a parade in downtown Burlington starting at 11 a.m. in the morning. And then Sunday is Snake Alley Art Fair, which is up on Snake Alley, which is a really good Father's Day treat for a lot of us that we love to go up there and see that. That's what we have going on every day. Of course, every day we also have North American Carnival is in town, and they'll be opening Tuesday night at 4 o'clock, and then they open every day after that at 1 for people that want to come in and ride the rides.
Now, Scott, how did this event get its start? We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Burlington Steamboat Days. How did we get started?
It started back in 1963. There was a group of gentlemen led by the chamber president that wanted to do something special for the community. And so they came up with Steamboat Days, and it was a Dixieland Festival. And that was the original start. And they got together, got on a train, and went over and met an agent that represented the different Dixieland bands, Art Hodes, and then one great name that we all know, Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong came here in 65, and did a show here, and for a nominal fee of $1,800, which was a lot of money back then. Shortly after that, his appearance here, that he came out with his song "Hello, Dolly." Louis was great to have here. The night that he was playing here, the Mormon Flies came out of the river, and they had to move him inside of Moore Auditorium because they were sucking down his trumpet. My father-in-law, Gene Bredar, who was the first president, asked, apologize. He says, "Oh, this is no big thing." He says, "I just came from Africa, and they have mosquitoes the size of sparrows there." So that's how it all got started. And it was a Dixieland Jazz Festival. We got back into about the middle 80s, and saw the trend of music changing. And that's where we started our relationship and partnership with Romeo Agency, who is now our booking agent today. And we brought in Charlie Daniels Band and kind of converted there. And we brought in with the rock and roll. Just seems to accelerate it. And we end up finding out this was a has been a great launching pad for especially a lot of the country artists. Holy cow, we've had the Kenny Chesney start off here, the Faith Hill started off here, the Tim McGraws have started off here, the Keith Urbans have started off here, Sugarland started off here. You know, we've had a lot of the great country artists, and we have a lot of the, you know, the great rock and roll, such as ZZ Top and Def Leppard and Poisons. But what's really excited is a lot of people forget, we had a little group of young five gentlemen that came to our show. They just begged us to put them in as an opener, and we were hesitant to it because they didn't have a band that backed them. But we, for a nominal fee, we agreed to have them as a 45-minute opener, and they're known as NSYNC. And they played here for almost about the same amount of money we paid Louis Armstrong. And they left from here to Disneyland, made their Disneyland special, and became the world recording artists that they're known for.
What is it like, Russ, to hear all those major groups coming here to Southeast Iowa, coming to the shore of the Mississippi here in Burlington?
It's sometimes it's really hard to believe, and I've been here since the beginning. I was 13 years old when it started. To see all this entertainment, and like Scott said, we started off as bluegrass and or jazz, and we've had bluegrass. We moved into the Dillards and John Hartford and some of the river, you know, guys that used to be a riverboat pilot. To see the, like Scott said, the change and the market trend, and we've tried to stay with the market trend and move with it. Of course, our entertainment costs have always went up over the years, but you know, back in I think it was 1986, Miller Brewing Company come on board as a major corporate sponsor along with Flex Sales here in Burlington. They brought new life and more money into the thing so we could go onward and upward, and it's grown to what it is today. And like we said, with our lineup that's coming this year, it's kind of really over the top. And every year we look at each other and we go, oh my, how do we top this? But we keep trying.
Now, Scott, has it always been such a long festival, or did it start off shorter and it's kind of gradually grown over the years?
Yeah, you know, the original festival, there was two shows per night, and I don't think it ran all six nights. It ran three nights, and they've gone to a four-night show, but if you look at the longevity of the event, it's pretty much been a six-night show. There's always been conversation about, you know, do we shorten it up? But I don't think it'll go there in the near future. Just you're allowed to, as long as we can bring in the world-class entertainment for those six nights that are routing through the area, hold the ticket prices where we're at. One of the gifts that we have here, besides being down on the, you know, on the riverfront here, right below the bridge, is this. We have one paid employee, and we have about 250 volunteers. And that's allowed this event to go as long as it really has, because if we were to sit there and have to pay each one of these individuals to run this event, it would run into the millions of dollars. And fortunately, you can come six nights, see all this entertainment for $50.
And that's what I was going to say, Russ. I wanted to get into the effort that it takes to put this on. I mean, once the doors are closed next week, once the final act is played, when do you guys start going to work on the next Steamboat Days?
Well, we'll spend about a month paying the bills and getting all the books leveled out again, and in about August or so and into September, we can have a few acts, one or two acts, by Thanksgiving weekend, which is when we kick off our ticket sales for the next year.
What is the impact on Burlington? I mean, what does this do when it comes to bringing in people, attendance and such? What kind of impact does Steamboat Days have?
The financial impact to the community, working with the University of Northern Iowa and the Chamber, it impacts the community about a positive cash flow of about $6 million. That's a pretty good deal for a bunch of volunteers, one paid employee. So, it's a great impact. We see it in the restaurants. We see it in the hotels. We see it in downtown shopping. But more importantly, what we're seeing a lot more, especially with the evolution of Facebook and the Internet, is we see people visiting Burlington more often than they have before. Presently, going into the event, you know, into this, you know, here we are just a few days before we get started, we're running about 60% of our tickets are being sold outside the Burlington region. And it's a regional event. You know, before it was the Burlington Steamboat Days, we're Steamboat Days, the regional festival, American Music Festival. We have sold tickets presently to 25 different states outside. That does not include Iowa, Illinois, Missouri. You know, we're really happy. We have a lot of people that come and visit, take vacations here. This event is supposed to last about 3.5 years in life, and we're on our 50th year, and it has to do with just a bunch of great volunteers, and a lot of good people come to see us, apparently having a pretty good time.
What do we look at for attendance numbers? How do you guys, are you guys able to track those numbers and what you guys do?
Yeah, we were able to track that through the festival and the carnival. We'll see about 120,000 people go through the event, you know, for the week. And now it's you know, like I said, with the evolution of the e-ticket and Facebook, kind of know who's here and what they really like to do. And it's kind of neat because it allows us to give us some input as we look for the future. What works today may not work tomorrow, so it allows us to build more of a personal relationship with those that attend Steamboat Days, so we can make sure we're here another 50 years.
Do you guys, what do you hear from the artists when they get done playing? What do you hear about just being in Burlington, the crowds, everything like that? Russ, what do you hear from them?
The feedback we get from them is, at first, when they get here, it's a parking lot, and with concession trailers around the outside, so we have food on site. You can come here, eat supper here, enjoy the evening. They think, oh, it's a parking lot, and they think, you know, they probably see a lot of different venues. But when all of a sudden we've got a mosh pit up front and our VIP section's clear full and we've got standing room only. 2 years ago there were so many people here, they were carrying their lawn chairs in because, you know, you can bring your own seats, bring your own lawn chairs. They were carrying them in and they basically almost had no place to put them down, and they were really sorely impressed. They just couldn't believe we could bring a town this size, event this size, that we could bring that many people in here and really, really have a good day. And they really enjoy being here. They love being out, looking down the river, seeing a barge come by once in a while, a flotilla of boats sitting in the river.
A question for both of you. Yes. Your favorite experience, favorite memory, maybe favorite performance?
I have two favorites. My first one was I was in the line. I was not on the board of directors, but I was in the world's longest conga line with Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine, which we set the Guinness Book of Records that year. And the next one, I got invited to go to an eat and greet 2 years ago with Zach Brown when their group was here. And those people were so marvelous, so wonderful. They fed us. Those really stick. And again, the crowd that those people drew, I could go on and on.
And then Scott, for you, same question. What stands out to your mind?
I've had a lot of good, great relationships with a lot of the entertainers that have been through here. Some of the classless acts in the whole world has to be Huey Lewis, Travis Tritt. I think one of the big special evenings, though, when Zach Brown does his eat and greet instead of a meet and greet, and he invites 150 people, and literally, him and his band literally wait on you hand and foot for 2.5 hours, and just
us.
You know, just want to say thank you. But I think what's really interesting, having been around this event, you know, all my life, is this: when you come here to Burlington Steamboat Days, and you're out there, I can tell you 10 years from now, you may not remember the band that was here that night, but you will have a story about a new friend that you've met, someone that you have not seen for a long time, or just some other special thing. It's a people thing. And it really is. It's a gathering of 15,000 people on one evening that basically say this: we're going to turn the channel, we're going to sit here along the river, we're going to have a cold beverage in our hand, we've got some music, and we're going to enjoy life. And I think that's what it all started about. Back in 1963, they just want to do something, have a little party, go down by the river, invite anybody they'd like to come, and just forget everything for just a few hours.
Got the important info to really close us out here. How do people get tickets? Can they still get tickets, everything like that?
You can get tickets at www.steamboatdays.com. It's an electronic ticket. Push a button, print it out right there for you. We do have area outlets all over Burlington. We do sell grounds passes the week of the event. They do go up an extra $5 the week of the event. So if you'd like to save $5 per ticket, go online or see those area outlets.
Well, gentlemen, as I look at my clock, we are out of time. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having us here. We really appreciate it.
That was Russ Brown and Scott Smith with the committee behind Burlington Steamboat Days. Burlington Steamboat Days kicks off on Monday with the main stages going Tuesday through Sunday. For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Jason Parrott.